On the march!
Legendary was the Xanadu where Kublai Khan decreed his stately pleasure dome. Today, almost as legendary is Florida Xanadu, world's largest private pleasure ground. Here on the deserts of the Gulf Coast, a private mountain was commissioned and successfully built. 100,000 trees, 20,000 tons of marble are the ingredients of Xanadu's mountain. Contents of Xanadu's palace. Paintings, pictures, statues, the very stones of many another palace. A collection of everything, so big it can never be cataloged or appraised. Enough for 10 museums, the loot of the world. Xanadu's livestock, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, the beast of the field and jungle, two of each, the biggest private zoo since Noah. Like the pharaohs, Xanadu's landlord leaves many stones to mark his grave. Since the pyramids, Xanadu is the costliest monument a man has built to himself. Here in Xanadu last week, Xanadu's landlord was laid to rest. A potent figure of our century, America's Kublai Khan, Charles Foster Kane. Humble beginnings in this ramshackle building, a dying daily. Kane's empire in its glory held dominion over 37 newspapers, two syndicates, a radio network, an empire upon an empire. The first of grocery stores, paper mills, apartment buildings, factories, forests, ocean liners, an empire through which for 50 years flowed in an unending stream the wealth of the Earth's third richest gold mine. Famed in American legend is the origin of the Kane fortune. How to boarding house keeper Mary Kane by a defaulting boarder in 1868 was left the supposedly worthless deed to an abandoned mine shaft, the Colorado Lode. 57 years later, before a congressional investigation, Walter P. Thatcher, grand old man of Wall Street, for years chief target of Kane Papers' attacks on trusts, recalls a journey he made as a youth.
My firm had been appointed trustee by Mrs. Kane for a large fortune which she recently acquired. It was her wish that I should take charge of this boy, this Charles Foster Kane.
Is it not a Johnston that on this occasion that boy, Charles Foster Kane, personally attacked you after striking you in the stomach with a sled?
Chairman, I shall read to the committee a prepared statement which I have brought with me, and I shall then refuse to answer any further questions. Mr. Charles Foster Kane, in every essence of his social beliefs and by the dangerous manner in which he has persistently attacked the American traditions of private property, initiative, and opportunity for advancement, is, in fact, nothing more or less than a communist.
That same month in Union Square...
In the words, Charles Foster Kane, are a menace to every working man in this land. He is today what he has always been. And always will be a fascist.
And still another opinion. Kane urged his country's entry into one war opposed participation in another, swung the election to one American president at least, spoke for millions of Americans, was hated by as many more. For 40 years, appeared in Kane newsprint, no public issue on which Kane papers took no stand. No public man whom Kane himself did not support or denounce. Often support, then denounce. Twice married, twice divorced. First to a president's niece, Emily Norton, who left him in 1916. Died 1918 in a motor accident with their son. 16 years after his first marriage, 2 weeks after his first divorce, Kane married Susan Alexander, singer at the town hall in Trenton, New Jersey. For wife too, one-time opera singing Susan Alexander, Kane built Chicago's Municipal Opera House. Cost $3 million. Conceived for Susan Alexander Kane, half finished before she divorced him, the still unfinished Xanadu. Cost, no man can say. Kane, molder of mass opinion though he was, in all his life was never granted elective office by the voters of his country. But Kane papers were once strong indeed. And once the prize seemed almost his. In 1916, as independent candidate for governor, the best elements of the state behind him, the White House seemingly the next easy step in a lightning political career, then, suddenly, less than 1 week before election, defeat. Shameful, ignominious. Defeat that set back for 20 years the cause of reform in the U.S., forever canceled political chances for Charles Foster Kane. Then, in the first year of the Great Depression, a Kane paper closes. For Kane, in 4 short years, collapse. 11 Kane papers merged, more sold, scrapped.
Is that correct?
Don't believe everything you hear on the radio. Read the Inquirer.
How did you find business conditions in Europe?
How did I find business conditions in Europe, Mr. Bones? With great difficulty.
You're glad to be back, Mr. Kane?
I'm always glad to be back, young man. I'm an American. Always been an American. Anything else? When I was a reporter, we asked him quicker than that. Come on, young fella.
Well, what do you think of the chances for war in Europe?
I've talked with the responsible leaders of the great powers, England, France, Germany, and Italy. They're too intelligent to embark on a project which would mean the end of civilization as we now know it. You can take my word for it. There'll be no war.
Kane helped to change the world. But Kane's world now is history. And the great yellow journalist himself lived to be history. Outlived his power to make it. Alone in his never-finished, already-decaying pleasure palace, aloof, seldom visited, never photographed, an emperor of newsprint continued to direct his failing empire, vainly attempted to sway, as he once did, the destinies of a nation that had ceased to listen to him, ceased to trust him. Then, last week, as it must to all men, death came to Charles Foster Kane.
News! On the march!
That's it.
Hello. Hello. Stand by. I'll tell you if we want to run it again.
Well, how about it, Mr. Ralston?
How do you like it, boys?
Well, 70 years in a man's life.
That's a lot to try to get into a newsreel.
It's a good short, Thompson, but what it needs is an angle.
Yeah, that's right.
All we saw on that screen was that Charles Foster Kane is dead. I know that. I read the papers.
Yeah.
You see, Thompson, it isn't enough to tell us what a man did. You've got to tell us who he was.
Need that angle.
Certainly. Wait a minute. What were Kane's last words? Do you remember, boys?
Yes,
what were the last words he said on Earth
Maybe he told us all about himself on his deathbed.
Yeah, and maybe he didn't. Maybe it was just...
All we saw on that screen was a big American.
One of the biggest.
But how is he any different from Ford? Or Hearst, for that matter? Or John Doe?
Yeah, sure.
I tell you, Thompson, a man's dying words.
Where were they? You don't read the papers.
When Charles Foster Kane died, he said just one word.
Rosebud.
Mm-hmm. Not only said Rosebud.
Tough guy, huh?
Yes, Rosebud.
Dice calling
just
for Rosebud.
Just that one word. But who is she?
What was it?
Here's a man that could have been president, who was as loved and hated and as talked about as any man in our time. But when he comes to die, he's got something on his mind called Rosebud. Now, what does that mean?
A racehorse he bet on once.
Yeah, that didn't come in.
All right. But what was the race?
Rosebud.
Thompson.
Yes, Mr. Rosebud.
Hold this picture up a week. 2 weeks if you have
to. Don't you think right after his death, it might be
better to... Find out about Rosebud. Get in touch with everybody that ever knew him. Oh, who knew him well. That manager of his, Bernstein. His second wife. She's still living.
Susan Alexander Kane.
She's running a nightclub in Atlantic City.
Yeah, that's right.
See them all. Get in touch with everybody that ever worked for him, whoever loved him, whoever hated his guts. I don't mean go through the city directory, of course.
I'll get on it right away, Mr. Ralston.
Good. Rosebud, dead or alive. It'll probably turn out to be a very simple thing.
Alexander, this is Mr. Thompson, Miss Alexander.
I want another drink, John.
Right away. Will you have some for Mr. Thompson?
I'll have a highball, please.
Who told you you could sit down?
I thought maybe we could have a talk together.
Well, think again. Let you people leave me alone. Minding my own business, you mind yours.
If I could just have a little talk with you, Miss Alexander, I don't want to ask you.
Get out of here. Get out!
Sorry.
Get out.
Maybe some other time. She just won't talk to nobody, Mr. Thompson.
Okay.
Another double?
Yeah.
Hello, I want New York City. Cortland, 79970. This is Atlantic City, 46827. All right. Hey.
She's, yeah. She'll snap out of it. Why, until he died, she'd just as soon talk about Mr. Kane as about any...
Hello?
Sooner.
Mrs. Thompson, let me talk to the chief, will you?
Hello, Mr. Ralston. She won't talk. The second Mrs. Kane, about Rosebud or anything else. I'm calling from Atlantic City. Then tomorrow, I'm going over to Philadelphia to the Thatcher Library to see that private diary of his. Yeah, they're expecting me. Then I've got an appointment in New York with Kane's general manager. What's his name? Bernstein. Then I'm coming back here. Yeah, I'll see everybody that's still alive. Goodbye, Mr. Ralston. Hey.
John,
you just might be able to help me. When she used to talk about Mr. Kane, did she ever say anything about Rosebud?
Rosebud? Well, thank you, Mr. Thompson. Thanks. As a matter of fact, just the other day, when the papers were full of it, I asked her. She never heard of Rosebud.
From his manuscript to be used by you.
Well, that's all right.
I'm just looking for one.
Jennings? Thompson, you will be required to leave this room at 4:30 promptly. You will confine yourself, it is our understanding, to the chapters in Mr. Thatcher's manuscript regarding Mr. Kane.
That's all I'm interested in. Thank you.
Pages 83 to
We'll have to tell him now.
Yes. I'll sign those papers now, Mr. Thatcher.
You people seem to forget that I'm the boy's father.
It's going to be done exactly the way I've told Mr. Thatcher.
There ain't nothing wrong with Colorado. I don't see why we can't raise our own son just because we come into some money. If I want, I can go to court. A father has a right to. A boarder that beats his bill and leaves worthless stock behind. That property is just as much my property as anybody's, now that it's valuable. And if Fred Graves had any idea all this was going to happen, he'd have made out those certificates in both our names.
However, they were made out in Mrs. Kane's name.
He owed the money for the board to the both of us.
The bank's decision on all matters concerning...
I don't hold with signing my boy away to any bank as guardian.
I want you to stop all this nonsense.
The bank's decision on all matters concerning his education, his places of residence, and similar subjects is to be final.
The idea of a bank being the guardian.
I want you to stop all this nonsense, Jim.
We will assume full management of the Colorado loan, of which, I repeat, Mrs. Kane, you are the sole owner.
Where do I sign, Mr. Thatcher?
Right here, Mrs. Kane.
Mary, I'm asking you for the last time. Anybody think I hadn't been a good husband?
The sum of $50,000 a year is to be paid to you and Mr. Kane as long as you both live, and thereafter to the survivor.
Well, let's hope it's all for the best.
It is.
The Union forever! The Catholic anti-Jack! Why, I can't raise my own boy more than I can understand.
Go on, Mr. Thatcher.
Everything else, the principal as well as all monies earned, is to be administered by the bank in trust for your son, Charles Foster Kane, until he reaches his 25th birthday, at which time he is to come into complete possession.
Charles! Go on, Mr. Thatcher.
Well, it's almost five, Mrs. Kane. Don't you think I'd better meet the boy?
I've got his trunk all packed. I've had it packed for a week now.
I've arranged for a tutor to meet us in Chicago. I'd have brought him here with me, but...
Charles!
Puppy, Mom!
Better come inside, son.
Well, 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 that's quite a snowman. Did you make it all by yourself, my lad?
Maybe I'll make some teeth and whiskers.
This is Mr. Thatcher, Charles.
Hello.
How do you do, Charles?
He comes from the east.
Pa!
Hello, Charlie.
Charles!
Yes, Mommy?
Mr. Thatcher's going to take you on a trip with him tonight. You'll be leaving on number 10.
That's the train with all the lights on it.
You going, Mom?
Well, no, your mother won't be going right away, Charles, but she'll be...
Where am I going?
You're going to see Chicago and New York and Washington, maybe. Ain't he, Mr. Thatcher?
He certainly is. I wish I were a little boy going on a trip like that for the first time.
Why aren't you coming with us, Mom?
We have to stay here, Charles.
You're going to live with Mr. Thatcher from now on, Charlie. You're going to be rich. Your ma figures. Well, that is, me and her decided this ain't the place for you to grow up in. You'll probably be the richest man in America someday, and you ought to get an education.
You won't be lonely, Charles.
Lonely, of course not. Why, we're going to have some fine times together. Really, we are, Charles. Now, shall we shake hands? Oh, come, come, come. I'm not as frightening as all that, am I? Now, what do you say? Let's shake.
Why, Charles.
Oh, Charles, you almost hurt me.
What's that under your
table? What's that to just lay with?
Mom!
Jim! I'm sorry, Mr. Thatcher. What that kid needs is a good thrashing.
That's what you think, is it, Jim?
Yes.
That's why he's going to be brought up where you can't get at him.
Well, Well, Charles. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And a happy new year. In closing, may I again remind you that your 25th birthday, which is now approaching, marks your complete independence from the firm of Thatcher and Company, as well as the assumption by you of full responsibility for the world's sixth largest private fortune. Have you got that?
The world's sixth largest private fortune.
Yes. Charles, I don't think you quite realize the full importance of the position you are to occupy in the world. I am therefore enclosing for your consideration a complete list of your holdings, extensively cross-indexed.
Dear Mr. Thatcher.
It's from Mr. Kane.
Go on. Sorry, but I'm not interested in gold mines, oil wells, shipping, or real estate.
One item on your list intrigues me, the New York Inquirer. A little newspaper I understand we acquired in a foreclosure proceeding. Please don't sell it. I'm coming back to America to take charge. I think it would be fun to run a newspaper. I think it would be fun to run a newspaper.
Traction Trust exposed. Traction Trust pleads public by Traction Trust smashed by Inquirer. Landlords refuse to clear slum. Inquirer wins slum fight.
Galleons of Spain off Jersey coast. Is that really your idea of how to run a newspaper?
I don't know how to run a newspaper, Mr. Thatcher. I just try everything I can think of.
Charles, you know perfectly well there's not the slightest proof that this armada's off the Jersey
Hello,
coast.
Hello, Mr. Bernstein.
Excuse me, Mr.
Can you
Kane.
Prove it isn't?
This just
Mr.
Came
Bernstein,
in.
I'd like you to meet Mr. Thatcher.
I'll just borrow
How do you do,
the
Mr. Thatcher?
Leland, Hello. Mr. Thatcher, my ex-guardian.
From
we have no secrets from our readers, Mr. Bernstein. Mr. Thatcher is one of our most devoted readers. He knows what's wrong with every copy of the Inquirer since I took over. Read the cable.
Girls delightful in Cuba, stop.
Could send you prose poems about scenery, but don't feel right spending your money. Stop. There is no war in Cuba. Signed, Wheeler. Any answer?
Yes, dear Wheeler, you provide the prose poems. I'll provide the war.
That's fine, Mr. Kane.
Yes, I rather like myself. Send it right away.
I came to see you about this campaign of yours. This Inquirer campaign against the Public Transit Company.
Mr. Thatcher, do you know anything we could use against them?
Still the college boy, aren't you?
Oh, no, Mr. Thatcher. I was expelled from college. A lot of colleges, you remember. I remember.
Charles, I think I should remind you of a fact that you seem to have forgotten.
Yes,
that you are yourself one of the largest individual
stockholders
in the Public Transit Company.
The trouble is you don't realize you're talking to two people. As Charles Foster Kane, who owns 82,364 shares of Public Transit Preferred, you see, I do have a general idea of my holdings. I sympathize with you. Charles Foster Kane is a scoundrel. His paper should be run out of town. A committee should be formed to boycott him. You may, if you can form such a committee, put me down for a contribution of $1,000.
My time's
on the other hand, I am the publisher of the Inquirer. As such, it's my duty, and I'll let you in on a little secret. It's also my pleasure to see to it that decent, hardworking people in this community aren't robbed blind by a pack of money-mad pirates just because they haven't anybody to look after their interests. I'll let you in on another little secret, Mr. Thatcher. I think I'm the man to do it, you see. I have money and property. If I don't look after the interests of the underprivileged, maybe somebody else will. Maybe somebody without any money or property.
Yes, yes,
and that
yes.
Would
money
be too
and property.
Bad.
Well, I happened to see your financial statement today, Charles.
Oh, did you?
Now, tell me honestly, my boy, don't you think it's rather unwise to continue this philanthropic enterprise, this Inquirer that's costing you $1 million a year?
You're right, Mr. Thatcher. I did lose $1 million last year. I expect to lose $1 million this year. I expect to lose $1 million next year. You know, Mr. Thatcher, at the rate of $1 million a year, I'll have to close this place in 60 years.
With respect to the said newspapers, the said Charles Foster Kane hereby relinquishes all control thereof, and of the syndicates pertaining thereto, and any and all other newspaper, press, and publishing properties of any kind whatsoever, and agrees to abandon all claim
Which
thereto.
Which means we're bust. All right.
Well, out of cash.
All right, Mr. Bernstein. I've read it, Mr. Thatcher. Let me sign it, and I'll go home.
Too old to call me Mr. Thatcher, Charles.
You're too old to be called anything else. You were always too old.
In consideration thereof, Thatcher and Company agrees to pay to Charles Foster Kane as long as
my
he lives.
Allowance.
The
you will continue to maintain over your newspapers a large measure of control.
Measure of control?
And shall seek your advice. This depression, temporary. There's always the chance that you'll die richer than I will.
It's a cinch I'll die richer than I was born.
We never lost as much as we made.
Yes, yes, but your methods. You know, Charles, you never made a single investment. Always used money to...
to buy things. To buy things. My mother should have chosen a less reliable banker. Well, I always gagged on that silver spoon. You know, Mr. Bernstein, if I hadn't been very rich, I might have been a really great man.
Don't you think you are?
I think I did pretty well under the circumstances.
What would you like to have been?
Everything you hate.
I beg your pardon, sir.
What?
What did you say?
It's 4:30, isn't it, Jennings?
Yes, ma'am.
You have enjoyed a very rare privilege, young man. Did you find what you were looking for?
No. You're not Rosebud, are you?
What?
Rosebud. And your name is Jennings, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Goodbye, everybody. Thanks for the use of the hall.
Who's a busy man? Me? I'm chairman of the board. I got nothing but time. What do you want to know?
Well, Mr. Bernstein, we thought maybe if we could find out what he meant by his last words as he was dying.
That Rosebud, huh? Maybe some girl. There were a lot of them back in the early days.
It's hardly likely, Mr. Bernstein, that Mr. Kane could have met some girl casually and then 50 years later on his deathbed.
Well,
remember.
You're pretty young, Mr. Thompson. A fellow will remember a lot of things you wouldn't think he'd remember. You take me. One day back in 1896, I was crossing over to Jersey on the ferry. And as we pulled out, there was another ferry pulling in. And on it, there was a girl waiting to get off. A white dress she had on. She was carrying a white parasol. And I only saw her for 1 second. She didn't see me at all. But I'll bet a month hasn't gone by since that I haven't thought of that girl. Who else have you been to see?
Well, I went down to Atlantic City.
Susie? Thank you. I called her myself the day after he died. I thought maybe somebody ought to. Couldn't even come to the phone.
I'm going down to see her again in a couple of days. About Rosebud, Mr. Bernstein? If you'd just talk about anything connected with Mr. Kane that you can remember. After all, you were with him from the beginning.
From before the beginning, young fellow. Now, after the end. Have you tried to see anybody except Susie?
I haven't seen anybody else. I've been through that stuff of Walter Thatcher's, that journal of his.
Thatcher? That man was the biggest darn fool I ever met.
He made an awful lot of money.
Well, it's no trick to make a lot of money. All you want is to make a lot of money. You take Mr. Kane. It wasn't money he wanted. Thatcher never did figure him out. Sometimes even I couldn't. You know who you ought to see? Mr. Leland. He was Mr. Kane's closest friend. They went to school together.
Harvard, wasn't it?
Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Cornell, Switzerland. He was thrown out of a lot of colleges. Mr. Leland never had a nickel. One of those old families where the father is worth $10 million and then one day he shoots himself and it turns out there's nothing but debts. He was with Mr. Kane and me the first day Mr. Kane took over the Inquirer.
look at it, Jedediah. It's gonna look a lot different one of these days. Come on.
There ain't no bedrooms in this joint. That's a newspaper building.
You're getting paid, mister, for opinions or for hauling?
Jedediah?
After you, Mr. Kane.
Excuse me, sir, but I...
Welcome, Mr. Kane.
Welcome.
Welcome to the Inquirer, Mr. Kane. I'm Herbert Carter, the editor-in-chief.
Thank you, Mr. Carter, but this is Mr. Leland,
How do you do, Mr. Leland?
New dramatic critic. I hope I haven't made a mistake, Jedediah. It is a dramatic critic you want to be, isn't it?
You know that's right.
Are they standing for me?
You? Oh,
yes,
Mr. Kane. Standing?
How do you do?
I thought it would be a nice little gesture.
Ask them to sit down, will you, please?
New publisher? You may resume your duties, gentlemen.
I don't know my plans myself.
I'm unable to make any preparation.
Matter of fact, I haven't got any plans.
No.
Except to get out a newspaper.
Oops.
Mr. Bernstein.
Yes, Mr. Kane.
Mr. Carter, this is Mr. Bernstein.
Mr. Bernstein
is my general manager, Mr. Carter.
Mr. Kane.
Is this your office, Mr. Carter?
My little private sanctum is at your disposal, but I...
Excuse me.
I don't understand.
Mr. Carter, I'm going to live right here in your office as long as I have to, and I...
Mr. Carter. Live here?
That's right, Carter. Mr. Carter.
Yes?
Excuse me.
But a morning newspaper, Mr. Kane,
that's
after
right,
all... We're practically closed for 12
Excuse
hours.
Me?
12
Excuse
hours.
Me.
A day?
Mr. Carter, that's one of the things that's going to have to be changed around here. The news goes on for 24 hours a day.
Excuse me?
That's right, Mr.
Excuse
Carter.
Excuse me?
Kane.
Excuse me?
Miss Kane, it's impossible. We...
Draw that cartoon.
Here's what I mean.
I'm no good as a cartoonist.
You certainly aren't. You're the dramatic critic, Leland. That's
enough. Still eating?
I'm still hungry. Now, look, Mr. Carter, here's a front-page story in the Chronicle about a Mrs. Harry Silverstone in Brooklyn who's missing. Now, she's probably murdered, and here's a picture of her in the Chronicle. Why isn't there something about it in the Inquirer?
Because we're running a newspaper.
Joseph, I'm
not
absolutely starving.
Well,
I'll arrest us later and get some.
No,
I'm very hungry. Look, Mr. Carter, here is a three-column headline in the Chronicle. Why hasn't the Inquirer a three-column headline?
News wasn't big enough.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Carter, if the headline is big enough, it makes the news big enough.
That's right, Mr.
Now, the murder of this Mrs. Harry Silverstone...
There's no proof that woman was murdered.
No proof,
or even that she's dead.
Says she's missing, and the neighbors are getting suspicious.
It's not our function to report the gossip of housewives. If we were interested in that kind of thing, Mr. Kane, we could fill the paper twice over daily.
Mr. Carter... That's the kind of thing we are going to be interested in from now on. Mr. Carter, I want you to send your best man to see Mr. Silverstone in Brooklyn. Have him tell Mr. Silverstone if he doesn't produce his wife, Mrs. Silverstone, at once, the Inquirer will have him arrested. Have him tell Mr. Silverstone he's a detective from,
The Central Office.
The Central Office. If Mr. Silverstone gets suspicious and asks to see your man's badge, your man is to get indignant and call Mr. Silverstone an anarchist. Loudly, so the neighbors can hear you.
Really?
Ready for dinner,
Miss
Jedediah?
Kane, I can't see that the function
Mr.
of
Carter,
a respectable
you've been most
newspaper...
Understanding. Thank you so much, Mr. Carter, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Papers read all about it.
We'll be on the street soon, Charlie. Another 10 minutes.
3 hours and 50 minutes late, but we did it.
Tired?
Half day.
A wasted day.
Wasted?
Uh-huh.
You only made the paper over 4 times tonight, that's all.
I've changed the front page a little, Mr. Bernstein. That's not enough. No, there's something I've got to get into this paper besides pictures and print. I've got to make the New York Inquirer as important to New York as the gas in that light.
What are you going to do, Charlie?
Declaration of principles. Don't smile, Jedediah. Got it all written out. Declaration of principles.
You don't want to make any promises, Mr. Kane, you don't want to keep.
These will be kept. I'll provide the people of this city with a daily paper that will tell all the news honestly. I will also provide
them... That's the second sentence you've started with I.
People are going to know who's responsible. And they're going to get the truth in the Inquirer, quickly and simply and entertainingly, and no special interests are going to be allowed to interfere with that truth. I'll also provide them with a fighting and tireless champion of their rights as citizens and as human beings.
Signed...
Can I have that, Charlie?
I'm going to print it.
Solly!
Solly! Yes, Mr. Kane?
Here's an editorial, Solly. I want you to run it in the box on the front page.
This morning's front page, Mr. Kane?
That's right, Solly. That means we're going to have to remake again, doesn't it, Solly?
Yes.
You'd better go down and tell them.
All right.
Solly, when you're through with that, I'd like to have it back. I'd like to keep that particular piece of paper myself. I have a hunch it might turn out to be something pretty important. A document.
Sure.
Like the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. At my first report card at school.
Tired, gentlemen, but I brought you here for a reason. I think this little pilgrimage will do us good.
Chronicle's a good newspaper.
The Chronicle's a good idea for a newspaper. Notice the circulation.
495,000.
Mm-hmm.
But, Mr. Kane, look who's working for the Chronicle. With them fellas, it's no trick to get circulation.
You're right, Mr. Bernstein.
You know how long it took the Chronicle to get that staff together? 20 years.
20 years? Well, 6 years ago, I looked at a picture of the world's greatest newspaper men. I felt like a kid in front of a candy store. Well, tonight, 6 years later, I got my candy. All of it. Welcome, gentlemen, to the Inquirer. Make up an extra copy of that picture and send it to the Chronicle, will you? It'll make you all happy to learn that our circulation this morning was the greatest in New York. 684,000.
684,132.
Right. And enough welcome to, I hope you'll forgive my rudeness in taking leave of you. I'm going abroad next week for a vacation. I promised my doctor for some time now that I'd leave when I could, and I now realize that I can't.
Hey, Mr. Kane, as long as you're promising, there's a lot of pictures and statues in Europe you haven't bought yet.
You can't blame me, Mr. Bernstein. They've been making statues for 2,000 years, and I've only been buying for 5.
Promise me, Mr. Kane.
I promise you, Mr. Bernstein.
Thank you.
Mr. Bernstein.
Yes?
You don't expect me to keep any of those promises, do you? And now, gentlemen, your complete attention, if you please. Are we going to declare war on Spain or are we not?
Overdressed.
You are too. Mr. Bernstein, look at his necktie.
Let's have the song about Charlie.
Mr. Kane.
Is there a song about Charlie?
Is there a song about you, Mr. Kane?
You buy a bag of peanuts in this town, you get a song written about you.
Magnets on the run. Who loves to smoke?
Who loves to smoke?
Enjoys
Such a party. What's the matter?
Who says amiss? Was made to kiss. And when he leaves one always tries to do exactly this. Who buys the food?
Who buys the food?
Who buys the drinks?
Who buys the drinks?
Who thinks the dough was made to spend and acts the way he thinks? Now is it Joe?
Bernstein, these men who are now with the Enquirer, who were with the Radical until yesterday. Bernstein, these men who were with the Chronicle,
weren't they just as devoted to the Chronicle policies
as they are now to our policies?
Sure, they're just like anybody else. They got work to do, they do it. Only they happen to be the best men in the business.
Same things the Chronicle stands for, Bernstein?
Certainly not. Listen, Mr. Kane, he'll have them changed to his kind of newspaper men in a week.
There's always a chance, of course, that they'll change Mr. Kane without his knowing it.
Mr. Leland! I got a cable from Mr. Kane! Mr. Leland! Mr. Leland, I got a cable here for Mr. Kane.
What?
From Paris, France.
What?
Look, Paris, France.
Come on in. Who by his action has
Mr.
the
Leland.
Ejection magnets on the run.
It's a good thing he promised not to send back any more statues.
Bernstein.
Look, he wants to buy the world's biggest diamond. Mr. Leland, why didn't you go to Europe with him? He wanted you to.
Oh, wanted Charlie to have fun with me along. Bernstein, am I a stuffed shirt? Am I a horse-faced hypocrite? Am I a New England school marm?
Yes. If you thought I'd answer you any different from what Mr. Kane tells you, well, I wouldn't.
All right, all right. World's biggest diamond. I didn't know Charlie was collecting diamonds.
He ain't. He's collecting somebody that's collecting diamonds. Anyway, he ain't only collecting statues.
Welcome home, Mr. Kane, from 467 employees of the New York Enquirer.
Here he comes!
Oh, I've got a mustache. Well, I know, but you got a society. Have we a society editor?
Townsend
is the society editor.
Miss Townsend, this is Mr. Charles Foster Kane.
Townsend, I have been away so long, I don't know your routine. I've got a little social announcement. I wish you wouldn't treat it any differently than you would any other social announcement.
Mr. Kane, on behalf of all the employees of the Enquirer...
Mr. Bernstein, thank you very much, everybody. I'm sorry. I can't accept it.
No.
Goodbye.
Say, he was in an awful hurry.
Hey! Hey, everybody! Looky out here!
Let's go to the window.
Mr. Leland! Mr. Bernstein!
Yes, Miss Townsend?
This announcement! Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Monroe Norton announced the engagement of their daughter, Emily Monroe Norton, to Mr. Charles Foster Kane.
Huh?
Come on.
Emily Monroe Norton. She's the niece of the President of the United States.
President's niece, huh? Before he's through, she'll be a president's wife.
The way things turned out, I don't need to tell you. Miss Emily Norton was no rosebud.
It didn't end very well, did it?
It ended. Then there was Susie. That ended, too. You know, Mr. Thompson, I was thinking, this rosebud you're trying to find out about.
Yes?
Maybe that was something he lost. Mr. Kane was a man who lost almost everything he had. You want to see Jed Leland. Of course, he and Mr. Kane didn't exactly see eye to eye. You take the Spanish-American War. I guess Mr. Leland was right. That was Mr. Kane's war. We didn't really have anything to fight about. But do you think if it hadn't been for that war of Mr. Kane's, we'd have the Panama Canal? I wish I knew where Mr. Leland was. A lot of the time now, they don't tell me these things. Maybe even he's dead.
In case you'd like to know, Mr. Bernstein, he's at the Huntington Memorial Hospital on 180th Street.
Why, you don't say. I had no
idea. Nothing particular the matter with him, they tell me.
Just old age. It's the only disease, Mr. Thompson, that you don't look forward to being cured of.
I can remember absolutely everything, young man. That's my curse. That's one of the greatest curses ever inflicted on the human race, memory. I was his oldest friend, and as far as I was concerned, he behaved like a swine. Not that Charlie was ever brutal. He just did brutal things. Maybe I wasn't his friend, but if I wasn't, he never had one. Maybe I was what you nowadays call a stooge.
Mr. Leland, you were going to say something about Rosebud.
You don't happen to have a good cigar, do you? I've got a young physician here who thinks I'm going to give up smoking.
I'm afraid I haven't. Oh, sorry.
I changed the subject, didn't I? What a disagreeable old man I have become. You're a reporter. You want to know what I think about Charlie Kane. Well, I suppose he had some private sort of greatness, but he kept it to himself. He never gave himself away. He never gave anything away. He just left you a tip. He had a generous mind. I don't suppose anybody ever had so many opinions. But he never believed in anything except Charlie Kane. He never had a conviction except Charlie Kane in his life. I suppose he died without one. It's been pretty unpleasant. Of course, a lot of us check out without having any special convictions about death, but we do know what we leave, and we do believe in something. You are absolutely sure you haven't got a cigar?
Sorry, Mr. Leland.
Oh, never mind.
Mr. Leland, what do you know about Rosebud?
Rosebud? His dying words. Rosebud. Yeah, I saw that in the Enquirer. Well, I never believed anything I saw in the Enquirer. Anything else? I can tell you about Emily. I went to dancing school with Emily. I was very graceful. We were talking about the first Mrs. Kane.
What was she like?
She's like all the girls I knew in dancing school. Very nice girl, very nice. Emily was a little nicer. Well, after the first couple of months, she and Charlie didn't see much of each other except at breakfast. It was a marriage just like any other marriage.
You're beautiful.
Oh, I can't.
Yes, you are. You're very, very beautiful.
I've never been to six parties one extremely night in my beautiful whole life. Oh, I've never even been up this late.
It's a matter of habit.
I wonder what the servants will think.
They'll think we enjoyed ourselves.
Yes.
Didn't we?
I don't see why you have to go straight out to the newspaper.
You never should have married a newspaper man. They're worse than sailors. I absolutely adore you.
Oh, Charles, even newspaper men have to sleep.
I'll call Mr. Bernstein, have him put off my appointments until noon. What time is it?
I don't know. It's late.
It's early.
Charles, do you know how long you kept me waiting last night while you went to the newspaper for 10 minutes? What do you do on a newspaper in the middle of the night?
Emily, my dear, your only correspondent is the Enquirer.
Sometimes I think I'd prefer a rival of flesh and blood.
Oh, Emily, I don't spend that much time on the newspaper.
It isn't just the time. It's what you print, attacking the president.
You mean Uncle John?
I mean the president of the United States.
He's still Uncle John. He's still a well-meaning fathead who's letting a pack of high-pressure crooks run his administration. This whole oil scandal.
He happens to be the president, Charles, not you.
That's a mistake that will be corrected one of these days.
Your Mr. Bernstein sent Junior the most incredible atrocity yesterday, Charles. I simply can't have it in the nursery.
Mr. Bernstein is apt to pay a visit to the nursery now and then.
Does he have to?
Yes.
Really, Charles? People
people will think.
What I tell them to think.
Wasn't he ever in love with her?
He married for love. Love. That's why he did everything. That's why he went into politics. It seems we weren't enough. He wanted all the voters to love him, too. That's all he really wanted out of life was love. That's Charlie's story, how he lost it. You see, he just didn't have any to give. Well, he loved Charlie Kane, of course, very dearly. And his mother, I guess he always loved her.
How about his second wife?
Susan Alexander. You know what Charlie called her? The day after he'd met her, he told me about her. He said she was a cross-section of the American public. Guess he couldn't help it. She must have had something for him. Well, that first night, according to Charlie, all she had was a toothache. What are you laughing at, young lady? What is the matter with you, young lady?
Toothache.
What?
Oh, toothache.
Toothache? Oh. You mean you've got a toothache? What's funny about that?
You're funny, mister. You got dirt in your face.
It's not dirt, it's mud.
You want some hot water? I live right here.
What's that, young lady? I
said if you wanted some hot water. Could get you some hot water.
All right, thank you very much. Get your mind off it.
Hey! Excuse me, but my landlady prefers me to keep this door open when I have a gentleman caller.
All right.
Oh.
You have got a toothache, haven't you?
I surely have.
Hey, why don't you try laughing at me again?
What?
I'm still pretty funny.
I know, but you don't want me to laugh at you.
I don't want your tooth to hurt either. Look at me. See that?
What are you doing?
I'm wiggling both my ears at the same time. That's his smile. It took me 2 solid years in the best boys' school in the world to learn that trick. The fellow who taught it to me is now the president of Venezuela. That's it.
Oh, is it a giraffe?
No, it's not a giraffe.
Oh, I bet it is.
What?
Well, then it's an elephant.
It's supposed to be a rooster.
No, a rooster. Gee, you know an awful lot of tricks. Mm-hmm. You're not a professional magician, are you?
No, I'm not a magician.
Oh, I was just joking.
You really don't know who I am?
Well, you told me your name, Mr. Kane, but I'm awful ignorant, but I guess you caught on to that. You know, I bet it turns out I've heard your name a million times.
And you really like me, though, even though you don't know who I am.
Oh, I surely do. Oh, you've
so
been
you
wonderful.
Do.
Well, gee, without you, I don't know what I'd have done. I had a toothache, and no, I don't know many people.
I know too many people. I guess we're both lonely. You want to know what I was going to do tonight before I ruined my best Sunday clothes?
Oh, I bet they're not your best Sunday clothes. You probably got a lot of clothes.
I was just joking. I was on my way to the Western Manhattan warehouse in search of my youth. You see, my mother died a long time ago, and her things were put in storage out west. There wasn't any other place to put them.
thought I'd send for them now. Tonight I was going to take a look at them. You know, a sort of sentimental journey. I run a couple of newspapers. What do you do?
Me?
Mm-hmm. How old did you say you were?
Oh, I didn't say.
I didn't think you did. If you had, I wouldn't have asked you, because I would have remembered. How old?
Pretty old.
How old?
22 in August.
That's a ripe old age. What do you do?
Well, I work at Siegelman's. I'm in charge of the sheet music there.
In charge of the... Is that what you want to do?
No, I wanted to be a singer, I guess. That is, I didn't. My mother did.
What happened to the singing?
Well, my mother always thought... She always talked about grand opera for me, uh-huh. Imagine. But my voice isn't that kind. It's just... Well, you know what mothers are like.
Yes, I know. Have you got a piano?
A piano?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's one in the parlor.
Would you sing for me?
Oh, you wouldn't want to hear me sing.
Yes, I would.
Well, I...
Well, don't tell me your toothache is still bothering you.
Oh, no, that's all gone.
All right. Let's go to the parlor.
Yes, Linda.
One man who can rid the politics of this state of the evil domination of Boss Jim Geddes.
Great.
I am speaking of Charles Foster Kane, the fighting liberal, the friend of the working man, the next governor of this state, who entered upon this campaign
with one purpose only, to point out and make public the dishonesty, the downright villainy of Boss Jim W. Geddes' political machine. Now in complete control of the government of this state. I made no campaign promises, because until a few weeks ago, I had no hope of being elected. Now, however, I have something more than a hope. And Jim Geddes has something less than a chance. Every straw vote, every independent poll shows that I'll be elected. Very well then. Now I can afford to make some promises. The working man, and the slum child know they can expect my best efforts in their interests. The decent, ordinary citizens know that I'll do everything in my power to protect the underprivileged, the underpaid, and the underfed.
Mother, is Pop Governor yet?
Not yet, Junior.
Well, I'd make my promises now if I weren't too busy arranging to keep them. And Boss Jim Geddes knows I'll keep it. My first official act as governor of this state will be to appoint a special district attorney to arrange for the indictment, prosecution, and conviction of Boss Jim W. Geddes!
I'd like to
election were held today, you'd be in by 100,000 votes.
Jim Geddes isn't even pretending.
Hello,
he's not just scared anymore.
How are you?
He's sick.
I think it's beginning to dawn on Jim Geddes. I mean what I say. Did you like your old man's speech?
I was in a box, Daddy. I could hear every word.
I saw you. Hello, Emily.
Hold it. Big speech, Mr. Kane. Great.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yes, Mrs. Jackson. Boy, I thought we'd...
I'm sending Junior home in the car, Charles, with Oliver.
Night, Father.
Bye, son. Emily.
Why'd you send Junior home in the car, Emily? What are you doing in the taxi?
There's a call I want you to make with me, Charles.
It can wait.
No, it can't.
What's this all about, Emily?
It may not be about anything at all. I intend to find out.
Where are you going?
I'm going to 185 West 74th Street. If you wish, you may come with me.
I'll come with you.
No idea you had this flair for melodrama, Emily.
Come right in, Mr. Kane.
Charlie. Charlie, he forced me to send your wife the letter. I didn't want it. He's been saying the most terrible...
Mrs. Kane. I don't suppose anybody would introduce us. I'm Jim Geddes.
Yes.
I made Miss Alexander send you the note, Mrs. Kane. She didn't want to at first, but she did it.
Charlie, the things he said to me, he threatened
me. Geddes. I don't think I will postpone doing something about you until I'm elected. To start with, I think I'll break your neck.
Maybe you can do it, maybe you can't, Mr. Kane.
Charles, your breaking this man's neck would scarcely explain this note. Serious consequences for Mr. Kane, for yourself, and for your son.
He just wanted to get her to come here.
What does this note mean, Miss?
I'm Susan Alexander. I know what you think, Mrs. Kane.
What does this note mean, Miss Alexander?
She don't know, Mrs. Kane. She just sent it because I made her see it wouldn't be smart for her not to send it.
In case you don't know, Emily, this gentleman...
I'm not a gentleman. Your husband's only trying to be funny, calling me one. I don't even know what a gentleman is. You see, my idea of a gentleman... But, Mrs. Kane, if I owned a newspaper and I didn't like the way somebody was doing things, some politicians say, I'd fight him with everything I had. Only I wouldn't show him in a convict suit with stripes so his children could see the picture in the paper or his mother.
You're a cheap, crooked grafter.
We're talking now about what you are. Mrs. Kane, I'm fighting for my life. Not just my political life, my life.
Charlie said no, she was...
That's what I said. Here's the chance I'm willing to give him. More of a chance than he'd give me. This Mr. Kane makes up his mind by tomorrow that he's so sick he has to go away for a year or two. Monday morning, every paper in the state except his will carry the story I'm going to give him.
What story?
Story about him and Miss Alexander, Mrs. Kane.
There isn't any story.
Shut up!
Mr. Kane.
We got evidence. It'll look bad in the headlines. Do you want me to give you the evidence, Mr. Kane? I'd rather Mr. Kane withdrew without having to get the story published. Not that I care about him, but I'd be better off.
What about...
So would you, Mrs. Kane.
What about me? Charlie said my name would be dragged through the mud. But everywhere I went from now on...
There seems to be only one decision you can make, Charles. I'd say it had been made for you.
You can't tell me the voters of this state...
Huh. I'm not interested in the voters of this state right now. I'm interested in our son.
Charlie, if they publish the story, it'll be...
They won't. Good night, Mr. Geddes. Are you coming, Charles?
No. I'm staying here. I can fight this all alone.
Charles, if you don't listen to reason, it may be too late.
Too late? For what?
you and this public thief to take the love of the people of this state away from me?
Charlie, you got other things to think about. Your little boy. You don't want him to read about you in the papers.
There's only one person in the world to decide what I'm going to do, and that's me.
You decided what you were going to do, Charles, some time ago.
You're making a bigger fool of yourself than I thought you would, Mr. Kane.
I've got nothing to talk to you about.
You're licked. Why don't
you... Get out. If you want to see me, have the warden write me a letter.
If anybody else that say what's going to happen to you, it'd be a lesson to you. Only you're going to need more than one lesson. And you're going to get more than one lesson.
Don't worry about me, Geddes.
Don't worry about me! I'm Charles Foster Kane! I'm no cheap, crooked politician trying to save himself from the consequences of his crimes! Geddes! I'm going to send you to Sing Sing! Sing Sing, Geddes! Sing Sing!
Have you a car, Mrs. Kane?
Yes, thank you.
Right.
Good night.
With a million majority already against him, and the church count is still to be heard from, I'm afraid we've got no choice.
This one?
That one.
Again.
Is there anything...
No, thanks, Mr. Bernstein. Better go home and get some sleep.
You too.
Night, Mr. Kane.
I'm drunk.
Well, if you got drunk to talk to me about Miss Alexander, don't bother. I'm not interested. I've set back the sacred cause of reform. Is that it? All right. That's the way they want it. The people have made that choice. It's obvious the people prefer Jim Geddes to me.
You talk about the people as though you own them. As though they belong to you. Goodness. As long as I can remember, you've talked about giving the people their rights. As if you could make them a present of liberty. As a reward for services rendered.
Jed.
Remember the working man?
I'll get drunk too, Jedediah. It'll do any good.
That won't do any good. Besides, you never get drunk. You used to write an awful lot about the working man.
Oh, go on home.
He's turning into something called organized labor. You're not going to like that one little bit when you find out it means that your working man expects something as his right, not as your gift, Charlie. When you're
precious, underprivileged really get together. Oh, boy. That's going to add up to something bigger than your privilege, and I don't know what you'll do. Sail away to a desert island, probably, and lord it over the monkeys.
I wouldn't worry about it too much, Jed. There'll probably be a few of them there to let me know when I do something wrong.
You may not always be so lucky.
You're not very drunk.
Drunk? What do you care? You don't care about anything except you. You just want to persuade people that you love them so much that they ought to love you back.
Only you want love on your own terms. It's something to be played your way according to your rules. Charlie, I want you to let me work on the Chicago paper.
What?
Well, you said yourself you were looking for someone to do dramatic criticism, criticism. I am drunk. I want to go to Chicago.
You're too valuable here.
Well, Charlie, there's nothing left for me to do but ask you to...
All right, you can go to Chicago.
Thank you.
Guess I better try to get drunk anyway. I warn you, Jedediah, you're not going to like it in Chicago. The wind comes howling in off the lake, and gosh only knows if they ever heard of Lobster Newburgh.
Will Saturday after next be all right?
Anytime you say.
Thank you.
Toast, Jedediah, to love on my terms. Those are the only terms anybody ever knows. His own.
I should say vice versa. We're going to be a great opera star.
Are you going to sing at the Metropolitan, Mrs. Kane?
We certainly are.
Charlie said if I didn't, he'd build me an opera house.
That won't be necessary.
Leland is writing it from the dramatic angle?
Yeah, and we've covered it from the news end.
Naturally.
And the social. How about the music notice? You got that in?
Oh, yes, that's already made up. Mr. Merwin wrote a swell review.
Enthusiastic?
Yes, sir.
Naturally.
Mr. Bernstein?
Mr. Kane.
Mr. Kane. Hello, Mr.
Hello,
Kane.
Hello, Mr.
Kane. This is a surprise.
Everything's been done exactly
to you. Nice
idea,
Mr. Donovan.
We've got two spreads of pictures.
That's fine. The music notice on the front page.
Yes, Mr. Kane.
But there's still one notice to come. The dramatic.
Dramatic notice? Mr. Bernstein, that's Mr. Leland, isn't it?
Yes, Mr. Kane. We're waiting for it.
Where is he?
Right in there, Mr. Kane.
Mr. Kane. Mr. Kane. Mr. Leland and Mr. Kane, they haven't spoken together for years.
You don't suppose?
There's nothing to suppose. Excuse me. Been drinking before, Mr. Kane. Never.
Who would have heard?
What's it say there?
The notice. What's he written?
Miss Susan Alexander, a pretty but hopelessly incompetent amateur. Last night, opened the new Chicago Opera House in a performance of I still can't pronounce that name, Mr. Kane. Her singing, happily, is no concern of this department. Of her acting, it is absolutely impossible to...
Go on. Go on.
That's all there is.
Of her acting, it is absolutely impossible to say anything except that in the opinion of this reviewer, it represents a new low. Have you got that, Mr. Bernstein? In the opinion of this reviewer?
I didn't see that.
It isn't here, Mr. Bernstein. I'm dictating.
Look, Mr. Kane, I...
Get me a typewriter. I'm going to finish Mr. Leland's notice.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Leland.
Where's my notice, Bernstein? I've got to finish my notice.
Mr. Kane is finishing it for you.
Charlie?
Charlie? Charlie out there.
I guess he's fixing it up. I knew I'd never get that through.
Mr. Kane is finishing your review just the way you started it. He's writing a bad notice, like you wanted it to be. I guess that'll show you.
Jedediah.
Hello, Charlie.
I didn't know we were speaking. Sure we're speaking, Jedediah. You're fired.
Everybody knows that story, Mr. Leland, but why did he do it? How could a man write a notice like
you
that?
You just don't know Charlie. He thought that by finishing that notice, he could show me he was an honest man. He was always trying to prove something. That whole thing about Susie being an opera singer, I was trying to prove something. You know what the headline was the day before the election? Candidate Kane found in love nest with, quote, singer, unquote. He was going to take the quotes off the singer. Hey, nurse, 5 years ago he wrote from that place down there in the south. What's it called? Shangri-La, El Dorado, Sloppy Joe's. What is the name of that place? All right. Xanadu. I knew it all the time. You caught on, didn't you? I guess maybe I'm not as hard to see through as I think. Well, I never even answered his letter. Maybe I should have. Guess he was pretty lonely down there in that Coliseum all those years. He hadn't finished it when she left him. He never finished it. He never finished anything. Except my notice. Of course, he built a joint for her.
That must have been love.
I don't know. He was disappointed in the world, so he built one of his own, an absolute monarchy. Something bigger than an opera house, anyway. Nerd!
Yes, Mr. Lincoln.
Oh, I'm coming. Listen, young fella, there is one thing you can do for me.
Sure.
You can stop at the cigar store on your way out, will you, and get me a couple of good cigars.
Be glad to.
Send them up. Thank you. One is enough. You know, when I was a young man, there used to be an impression around that nurses were pretty. Well, it was no truer then than it is today.
I'll take your arm, Mr.
Leland. All right. You won't forget about those cigars, will you? And have them wrap them up to look like toothpaste or something, or they'll stop them at the desk. You know that young doctor I was telling you about? Well, he's got an idea. He wants to keep me alive.
Whether you just talked. Anything that comes into your mind about yourself and Mr. Kane.
You wouldn't want to hear a lot of what comes into my mind about myself and Mr. Charlie Kane. You know, maybe I should never have sung for Charlie that first time I met him. But I did an awful lot of singing after that. To start with, I sang for teachers. $100 an hour. Teachers got that.
What did you get?
I didn't get a thing. Just the music lessons. That's all there was in it.
He married you, didn't he?
Oh, he didn't mention anything about marriage till after it was all over and got in the papers about us. He lost the election and Norton Woman divorced him. I tell you, he was really interested in my voice. What do you suppose he built that opera house for? I didn't want it. I didn't want to sing. It was his idea. Everything was his idea. My leaving him.
Il mio cor, don't forget ta 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 ta.
Don't get nervous. Please, let's come back. Da capo, eh? Please look at me, Mrs. Kane, darling. Now, get the boots out of the throne. Play the tone. Right in the mask. Forward.
Go ahead. Diaphragm. Now. You're out of pitch. Some people can sing, some can't. Impossible.
It's not your job to give Mrs. Kane your opinion of her talents. You're supposed to train her voice, Signor Battisti.
But Mr.
Nothing
Kane.
More. Please sit down and continue with the lesson.
But Mr. Kane.
Please.
But I will be the laughingstock of the musical world. People will think that
people will think? You're concerned with what people will think? Well, perhaps I can enlighten you, Signor Battisti. I'm something of an authority on what people will think. The newspapers, for example. I run several newspapers between here and San Francisco. It's all right, darling. Signor Battisti is going to listen to reason, aren't
but
you, Signor Battisti?
But how can I persuade you?
You can't.
Allora cominciamo, eh? Avanti, avanti.
Il mio cuore ferito è già.
You'd see it my way.
Make sure that you got this personally.
Thanks, sir.
Yes, sir.
Is that something from him? Charlie! As for you, you ought to have your head examined. Sending him a letter telling him he's fired with a $25,000 check in it. What kind of firing do you call that? You did send him a check for $25,000, didn't you?
Yes. I sent him a check for $25,000.
What's that?
Declaration of Principles.
What?
Hmm?
What is it?
An antique.
You're awful funny, aren't you? Well, I can tell you one thing you're not going to keep on being funny about, and that's my sin. I'm through. I never wanted to in the first place.
You'll continue with your singing, Susan. I don't propose to have myself made ridiculous.
You don't propose to have yourself made ridiculous? What about me? I'm the one that's got to do the singing. I'm the one that gets the raspberries. Why don't you let me alone?
My reasons satisfy me, Susan. You seem unable to understand them. I will not tell them to you again. You will continue with your singing. Get Dr. Corey.
Susan. She'll be perfectly all right in a day or two, Mr. Kane.
Can't imagine how Mrs. Kane came to make such a foolish mistake. The sedative Dr. Wagner gave her was in a somewhat larger bottle. I guess the strain of preparing for the new operas excited and confused her.
Yes, yes, I'm sure that was it.
Hmm. No objections to my staying here with her, are there?
No, no, not at all. I'd like the nurse to be here, too. Good night, Mr. King.
Charlie, I couldn't make you see how I felt, Charlie. But I couldn't go through with the singing again. You don't know what it means to know that people are... that a whole audience just doesn't want you.
That's when you've got to fight them. You won't have to fight them anymore. It's their loss.
Charlie, what time is it?
11:30.
New York?
Hmm?
So what time is it in New York?
11:30.
At night?
Mm-hmm. Bulldog's just gone to press.
Well, hooray for the bulldog. Gee, 11:30. Shows are just getting out. People are going to nightclubs and restaurants. Of course, we're different because we live in a palace.
You always said you wanted to live in a palace.
Well, a person could go crazy in this dump. Nobody to talk to, nobody to have any fun with.
Susan.
49,000 acres of nothing but scenery and statues. I'm lonesome.
Till just yesterday, we've had no less than 50 of your friends at any one time. I think if you look carefully in the West Wing, Susan, you'll find about a dozen vacationers still in residence.
You make a joke out of everything. Charlie, I want to go to New York. I'm tired of being a hostess. I want to have fun. Please, Charlie. Charlie, please.
Our home is here, Susan. I don't care to visit New York. What are you doing? Oh, one thing I never can understand, Susan. How do you know you haven't done it before?
Makes a whole lot more sense than collecting statues.
You may be right. I sometimes wonder. But you get into the habit.
It's not a habit. I do it because I like it.
I thought we might have a picnic tomorrow, Susan.
Huh?
I thought we might have a picnic tomorrow. Invite everybody to spend the night at the Everglades.
Invite everybody. Order everybody a meal and make them sleep in tents. Who wants to sleep in tents when they got a nice room of their own, with their own bath, where they know where everything is?
Thought we might have a picnic tomorrow, Susan.
You never give me anything I really care about.
It can't be love, for there is no true love. I know I played at the game like a wolf in a blue clay. Lost in the end, just the same. All these years, my heart moved around in a bundle of tears.
Sure, you give me things, but that don't mean anything to you.
You're in a tent, darling. You aren't at home. I can hear you very well if you speak in a normal tone of voice.
What's the difference between giving me a bracelet or giving somebody else $100,000 for a statue you're going to keep crated up and never even look at? It's just money. It doesn't mean anything. You never really give me anything that belongs to you, that you care about.
Susan, I want you to stop this.
I'm not going to stop it.
Right now.
You never gave me anything in your whole life. You just tried to buy me into giving you something.
Susan! I do because I love you.
You don't love me. You want me to love you. Sure, I'm Charles Foster Kane. Whatever you want, just name it and it's yours. But you gotta love me. Don't tell me you're sorry.
I'm not sorry.
Mr. Kane. Mrs. Kane would like to see you, sir. Maria's been packing her since morning.
Tell Arnold I'm ready, Marie. Tell him he can get the bags.
Yes, madame.
Have you gone completely crazy? You should know that our guests, that everyone here will know about this. Pack your bag, you sent for the car.
I left you? Of course they'll hear. I'm not saying goodbye, except to you. But I never imagined people wouldn't know.
I won't let you go.
Goodbye, Charlie.
Susan. Please don't go. No. Please, Susan. From now on, everything will be exactly the way you want it to be. Not the way I think you want it, but your way. Hmm? Mustn't go. You can't do this to me.
I see. It's you that this is being done to. Not me at all. Not what it means to me. I can't do this to you. Oh, yes, I can. In case you haven't heard how I lost all my money, and it was plenty, believe me.
The last 10 years have been tough on a lot of people.
Ah, they haven't been tough on me. I just lost all my money. So you're going down to Xanadu?
Yeah, Monday, with some of the boys from the office. Mr. Olson wants the whole place photographed, all that art stuff. We run a picture magazine, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, if you're smart, you'll get in touch with Raymond. He's the butler. You'll learn a lot from him. He knows where all the bodies are buried.
You know, all the same, I feel kind of sorry for Mr. Kane.
Don't you think I do? Well, what do you know? It's morning already. Come around and tell me the story of your life sometime.
Rosebud? I tell you about Rosebud. How much is it worth to you? $1,000?
Okay.
Well, I tell you, Mr. Thompson. He acted kind of funny sometimes, you know?
No, I didn't.
Yes, he did crazy things sometimes. I've been working for him 11 years now, in charge of the whole place. So I ought to know. Rosebud.
Yes?
Well, like I tell you, the old man acted kind of funny sometimes, but I know how to handle him.
A lot of service?
Yeah, but I know how to handle him. Like the time his wife left him.
Rosebud.
I see. And that's what you know about Rosebud?
Yeah. I heard him say it that other time, too. He just said, Rosebud. Then he dropped the glass ball and it broke on the floor. He didn't say anything after that, and I knew he was dead. He said all kinds of things that didn't mean anything.
Sentimental fellow, aren't you?
Yes and no.
Well, that isn't worth $1,000.
You can keep on asking questions if you want.
We're leaving tonight.
As soon as we're through, take the pictures.
Allow yourself plenty of time. The train stops at the junction on 6th, but they don't like to wait. Not now.
We're 9182.
I can remember when they'd wait all day. If Mr. Gates...
Nativity!
You
better get going.
Quiet, Florence, 1921.
Okay. All right, next. Take a picture of that.
Hey! Can we come down?
Yeah. Hurry up. We're leaving.
Okay. Here we come.
How much do you think all this is worth, Mr. Thompson?
Millions. Anybody wants it?
Well, at least he brought all this stuff to America.
What's that? Another Venus.
$25,000. That's a lot of money to pay for a dame without a head.
The banks are out of luck then, huh?
Oh, I don't know. They'll clear all right.
He never threw anything away.
Welcome home, Mr. Kane, from 467 employees of the New York Inquirer.
One stove from the estate of Mary Kane, Little Salem, Colorado. Value, $2.
We're supposed to get everything, the junk as well as the art.
He sure liked to collect things, didn't he?
Anything and everything.
A regular crow, huh?
Hey, look, a jigsaw puzzle.
We got a lot of those.
Burmese temple and three Spanish ceilings down the hall.
Yeah, all in crates.
Part of a Scotch castle over there, but we haven't bothered to unwrap it yet.
I wonder, you put all this stuff together. Palaces, paintings, toys, and everything. What would it spell?
Charles Foster Kane?
Or Rosebud? How about it, Jerry?
What's Rosebud?
That's what he said when he died.
Did you ever find out what it means?
No, I didn't.
What did you find out about him, Jerry?
Not much, really. We better get started.
What have you been doing all this time?
Playing with a jigsaw puzzle?
If you could have found out what that Rosebud meant, I bet that would have explained everything.
No, I don't think so. No. Mr. Kane was a man who got everything he wanted and then lost it. Maybe Rosebud was something he couldn't get or something he lost. Anyway, it wouldn't have explained anything. I don't think any word can explain a man's life. No, I guess Rosebud is just a piece in a jigsaw puzzle. A missing piece. Well, come on, everybody. We'll miss the train.
Thank you.
Throw that junk.
What you nowadays call a stooge, huh?
Everything was his idea. Except my leaving him. I've got his trunk all packed. I've had it packed for a week now. Sometimes I think I'd prefer a rival of flesh and blood.
Well, you're gonna need more than one lesson. You're gonna get more than one lesson.
Who's a busy man? Me? I'm chairman of the board. I got nothing but time. What do you want to know?
Well, Mr. Bernstein, we thought maybe if we could find out what he meant by his last words as he was dying.
Sentimental fellow, aren't you?
Yes and no. I think it would be fun to run a newspaper. I think it would be fun to run a newspaper.